The Gospel reading from Matthew. The same day, some Sadducees came to him, saying, "There is no resurrection." And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies childless, his brother shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died childless, leaving the widow to his brother. The second did the same, and also the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died herself. In the resurrection, then, whose wife of the seven will she be? For all of them had married her." Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is God not of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astounded at his teachings. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. God, we gather and celebrate this week, and we take time to reflect on the blessings of the freedoms that have been so sorely fought for and won. We also take time to commit ourselves to offer the same freedoms we cherish to others. We have gathered here this morning during the busyness of the summer season to seek your will, to find your peace and directions for our lives. Bless us, God, with your wisdom tempered with compassion. Remind us that we have our freedom because others who have gone before stood for principles of hope. Do not let our pride of country overwhelm the needs that still abound within our walls and within our land. Where there is hatred, help us bring your words of love. Where there are injustices, help us to correct unjust systems and become advocates for the voiceless and powerless. Where there is apathy, empower us to bring the good news of your gracious, transforming love. Help us be mindful of the many ways in which we can reach out to others. By our attitudes and our actions, may we be those who would bring hope, comfort, healing, and peace. Be with us this day and all our days as we seek to follow you. Amen.
My great mentor and friend and Broadway ordinand, Hardy Clemons, taught me three key lessons for surviving and abiding as a pastor. One, never quit on a Monday. Two, don't try to make friends with mad dogs. And three, don't borrow trouble. I'm glad to say I haven't quit yet on a Monday. And I don't feed salivating dogs. And though what I have set out to say and do has sometimes been seen as quixotic, I can say that I've never caused controversy for controversy's sake, but have striven only to ever trouble Israel with a sermon solely when what needed to be said was a matter of of utmost conscience, conviction, and or care for our community. What I have to say today is a matter of all three. I'm speaking with you today on the subject on transgenderism. And I do so because transgender people and their families are members of this congregation, and because it is a firm conviction of my conscience that they be cared for and loved as is fitting in the beloved community of Christ. Transgender people are not problems to be solved. They are human beings to be honored, cherished, loved, and protected. My hope is this morning that I can express genuine care to the transgender persons and their families who are members of this community, and to perhaps help us all think theologically and biblically about what it is that we can, about why it is that we can and should welcome and affirm transgender persons and other persons of gender fluidity within the church, and defend their rights within society. Three core convictions form the basis of what I believe. Firstly, that everyone is made in the imago Dei, the image of God. And secondly, that the image of God is not biological, sexual, genital, or congenital, but spiritual. And three, that the radical spiritual message of the original Jesus movement, though much maligned, managed, and masked, and often made to miscarry, is still a marker for a whole new way of making out what it means to be human. From now on, St. Paul said, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We no longer know him in that way. And if anyone is in Christ, therefore there is a whole new creation. And in Christ there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in substance in Christ Jesus. These words were written 2,000 years ago, and we are still trying to catch up with their radicality even today, though admittedly some aren't trying very hard. In fact, many are still trying really hard to run from these words. But in the beginning, God created them male and female. That's in the Bible, they say. Well, yes, okay, that is in the Bible. And let's be this morning biblical. Let us remember that there are two biblical creation accounts, and that in the first, the Bible says God creates human beings in God's image. In the image of God, God created male and female. God created them. God made humanity in God's image. Both masculine and the feminine were made in God's image. Therefore, both the masculine and the feminine belong to God. Thus, God, in God's very own self, is gender inclusive. And in the second biblical creation account, there is the affirmation of mutuality and belonging as well. The Isha, translated woman, is formed from the rib of the Ish, translated man. And so the Ish says of the Isha, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Which I interpret to mean there is something of and belonging to the male that is in the female, and conversely, there is something belonging to the male that is also in the female in the man, going back to the first creation story. Since then, they are both made in God's image. Both have something belonging to God in each. So there is mutuality, and there is diversity, and there is fluidity in creation because there is mutuality and diversity and fluidity even in God. And so far as the binary goes, we recall that the first biblical act of creation took place on 6 of 7 days, which saw the opposites of light and darkness, day and night, land and sea being formed. To this, male and female are added on the 6th day. But lest we absolutize this binary too greatly, let us remember that not all land is as dry as Lubbock. Thank God. God made the sea and the land, but God also made marshes and estuaries and the coral reefs and the dawns and the dusk, which are neither one quite night or fully day. And that is what makes them so brilliant and so beautiful. By the way, Lubbock has great sunsets. You can see Honolulu light up from your back porch. There is diversity in creation. And it is beautiful and amazing. And just to make the point, let us remember that not 2 or 3 months ago, we all saw the night of a total eclipse come right over us, right in the middle of the day. And we all bought glasses and got out of school and work to come and to watch. This was no aberration, and it was certainly no abomination. It was a celebration. Diversity in creation should be a celebration. Not everything fits into that neat little box. There is diversity, and there is fluidity. There is land, and there is sea, and there are sea islands. There is day, there is night, and there is dawn, and there is eclipse. There is male, and there is female, and there is also fluidity. And it all belongs. And as God says at the end of that creation story, it is all good. It is good, good, good. Now let's talk about the New Testament. Today, I'm sure some were wondering if we had the right scripture in the gospel. We read the hypothetical story presented to Jesus of the woman who had seven brother husbands, all of which died. That poor woman. She had either really good genes or really bad luck. And finally, she herself died. And Jesus was asked, now, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus answers the question by saying that people will not marry or be given in marriage in heaven, but instead they are like angels. Now, I don't know for sure. I will confess that, but I understand. The scriptures seem to suggest, and traditional church teaching attest, that angels are not singularly either male or female. In fact, sex is not a definite or defining characteristic for angels. It's not a fixed category, and neither is gender. And my question this morning is in saying that people will one day be like angels in heaven, was Jesus not more than just implying that the roles of sex and gender ought not be considered too definite, too fixed, and too eternal? Wasn't he saying that they can be changed and that they will be changed? So I want to submit to you this morning that it should not be considered a sin that some be changed here on earth, even as we know there will be change in heaven. For sex and gender are not eternally fixed categories. And the essence of the scriptures teach us that the outward body wastes away, but something inward is renewed, and that the mortal puts on the immortal, and that the natural puts on the supernatural, and that the essential and spiritual is being freed from the inconsequential and temporal. These are my thoughts. And I know that they are somewhat speculative, but this is how I got there, both theologically and also biblically. And I hope that for anyone who is struggling to make sense of transgenderism, what I offer here this morning is beneficial in helping us see that transgenderism and gender fluidity can be biblical and they can also be good. Now, let me say something pastorally for a moment. I know that what I'm saying may be difficult for some. And for those who have a hard time with transgenderism, my prayer is that my biblical reflections will at least be an open door. I know that we all see through a glass darkly, and that certainly includes me, and that without love, we are nothing. And I pray that you will see this sermon as an act of love for transgender people. And I pray that you hear what I'm saying now as an act of love for you. For without love, we are nothing. So let's keep talking. And as Pastor Hardy said, let's nobody quit on a Monday. But as difficult as this topic may be for some of the rest of us, I know it is even more difficult for families directly impacted. Transition is seldom an easy choice or path, and there is almost always grief and fear and uncertainty involved for both transgender persons and also for their family members. So to the families of transgender persons, I wish to have you hear me say this morning, that I will support you. And I will not judge you. I will not shame you. I will do what I can to care for you. And I know that this is a difficult journey, and I will try to walk this path with you. And finally, most importantly, to the individuals who are themselves transgender and or gender fluid or sense that they may be, I want to tell you this morning that I will be here for you. I care and I am concerned for you, and I will try to be a good advocate for you, and I will try to be for you a good pastor. But we all know that that may come with a cost. Last week, Broadway was attacked again on X by a local political party chair for our sponsorship of Pride Fest, and specifically our support of transgender persons. He called us all manner of vile, disgusting, and frankly, wrong things. I want you to know this morning that I will not be moved. And I will not be shaken. Pastor means shepherd, and Jesus said, the good shepherd is willing to lay down their life for the sheep. I want you to know that I'm willing to lay down my life for you. You are made in the image of God, and you are beloved of God. You are beloved of me, and I will do whatever I can as your pastor to make sure you are welcome and affirmed and beloved inside the doors of this beloved community of God, and safe and stood in solidarity with outside of them. Some of you may be surprised to know how many transgender and gender fluid people and families of transgender and gender fluid persons we have here at Broadway. I can tell you, if I've had the privilege of pastoring several, both here and also elsewhere, and what I've discovered are tremendous, tremendous people of faith who, in the words of transgender theologian Justin Sabbatianus, have experienced an extraordinary calling on their lives or the life of someone whom they love and who long to have that calling recognized in the church and respected in society. Let me tell you about one. I will call her Catherine. And she called me a while back to ask if I would vouch for her as an ordained minister. I first knew Catherine before she transitioned. She was a parishioner in a previous church, an ordained Southern Baptist minister, and the first trans person to trust me with their story, using a term I had never heard before, gender dysphoria. Catherine told me about her shame. She told me about her depression. She told me about the struggles that she had just to be believed. So many transgender persons aren't believed and can't find help unless they're on the brink of suicide. That's not humane. But I thank God Catherine found a therapist and a doctor who were humane and believed her and could help. And subsequently, she has undergone various gender confirmation treatments and procedures and a relocation or two, and has now, lo and behold, God bless, been called to pastor a little church as an openly trans woman. And she was calling me because she lost her certificate of ordination in one of those moves and didn't think the church where she was ordained would reissue one. After all, that pastor is now a top-level, right-wing, fundamentalist pastor in the Conservative Baptist Network, a group that thinks the Southern Baptist Convention has gone off and gotten too liberal. There's more than one way to be a fundamentalist Baptist. Catherine told me, I don't think they'll be real eager to sign another certificate of ordination. I'm no longer exactly what you'd call a good old Southern Baptist boy. I never was. Ordination is an act of God, not of the church. Church only affirms the call. And as a representative of the church, I affirm that Catherine has been called as a trans woman and as a minister of God's gospel. And even more, I rejoice with her that she is able to preach that gospel in such a way that not only forgives her of her sins, but also unshackles her from all of the shame and all of the guilt foisted upon her by the sins of her superstitious misunderstanding and maligning society, and empowers her to proclaim the radically good news of the new creation, in which there is neither male nor female, and where there is no judgment according to the flesh, and where we are all one in Christ Jesus, and where you don't have to be a good old Southern Baptist boy to receive the vouchsafe and the blessing of God's Holy Spirit. God has done a new thing. God is doing a new thing. God is still speaking. God is still creating. God is still calling. And we are still catching up. And as the old hymn has it, new occasions teach new duties. Time makes ancient good uncouth. Whoever up and onward would keep abreast of truth. In other words, there is a new creation. And things change. And things will be changed. And we must be willing to be changed also. From of old all the way back into the biblical days, they knew that queer people existed. They knew that non-binary, gender fluid, intersexual, and asexual people existed. They called them eunuchs. And they were mostly misunderstood and, of course, thus rejected. But let us remember what Jesus himself said about such people. Jesus said, there are eunuchs who were born that way. And there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who choose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And the one who can accept this should accept it. It is theological, and it is biblical. It is pastoral, and it is also Christian. Gender expression, gender fluidity, transgender people, lesbian, gay, bisexual people, some were born that way. Some have chosen to be that way. Some have been called to be that way. We should accept this teaching. And more importantly, we should accept them. We should welcome, and we should affirm them. For these two were made in the image of God. And they too are at one with all of the rest of us in this new creation, which we call and get the privilege of being members of, this beloved community of Christ. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say,